It's of course and an honor to join you today. One of the highlights of my week is to give this Parsha Shir to you as we learn together. Parshas Miketz, Shabbos Chanukah. There are so many inyonim, so many topics. And again, as we always say, we have to pick and choose exactly what we talk about. But we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions based on this week's Parsha. And also based on the holiday of Chanukah. And God willing, we're going to come out with some major yisodos, some major foundations that we can apply to our lives. Last week's Parsha, Yosef HaTzadik, in the beginning of the Parsha, he was on the top of the world. He was learning Torah with his father Yaakov. He was going to be the future. And then all of a sudden, he has these dreams. And at the end of the Parsha, he's in the low point of the world. He's sitting in jail. And then you come to this week's Parsha, Parsha's Miketz. And in the beginning of the Parsha, he's sitting in jail. And at the end of the Parsha, he becomes the viceroy of Paro. What switched? What happened here? What was it all about? Question one. Question two. We know the Torah begins, Vayehi Miketz Asayim Yamim. And it happened at the end of 2 years to the day, Uparo Cholim. And Paro was having different dreams. And the Torah tells us in the beginning of the Parsha that Paro had two dreams. He had a dream about the big cows, and the thinner cows came and they swallowed them up. And then he had another dream, the dream about the different grain, and they were sprouting, and it was unbelievable. And then the Pasuk tells us in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Hinei Sheva Shivlim Dakos. Then you had these thinner ears that came, and they swallowed them up. And Paro woke up, and he was very agitated, and he didn't know what these dreams meant. And he went to his people, he went to his Chartumim, and we know that they were trying to interpret the dreams. And the Medrash Rabbah tells us in Brachos Rabbah Peites Vav that they said that maybe it's representing the seven daughters, that he was going to have seven daughters and then they were going to be buried. And Paro did not want to hear these dreams. And then the interpretation of the dreams. And then he called in Yosef. And Yosef was able to figure them out. How? How was Yosef HaTzadik? What was the difference? What was Yosef HaTzadik's interpretation? Why was that different than the Chartumei Mitzrayim? What was about the interpretation of Yosef? Further question. The big question that all the Rishonim and all the Achronim are discussing is Yosef. You're in jail. And then you become the viceroy. Why did you wait? Get in touch with your father. Your father is waiting for you. Your father doesn't know what happened to you. Why did Yosef HaTzadik wait? What was he trying to accomplish? Again, maybe there was no email. Maybe there was no way to get it direct. Like nowadays, in 2 seconds, you could just get anything to the whole world. So maybe that didn't happen back in the day. But still, why did Yosef HaTzadik wait? What was he trying to accomplish? Question three. The holiday of Chanukah. What's the relationship of Chanukah and Parshas Miketz? Is there a correlation? Is there a connection between Chanukah and the whole story with Yosef HaTzadik? And furthermore, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, all the sugyas that we spoke about last week, all the sugyas are found in Masechet Shabbos, just a couple of dafs. And we know that the Gemara, when it's focusing about the mitzvah of Chanukah, the whole essence of Chanukah, it tells us a famous story, which were very little kids, about the Pach HaShemen, about the oil. That the Yevonim came And the Yevanim, again, the Hanukkah story happened in this time in the second Beis HaMikdash, 167-168 BCE. Antiochus said, we're going to put a pestle in the Beis HaMikdash. And this Yavan tried to destroy us, which we'll discuss what that's all about. But we know that they couldn't find any. They came and they had the Chanukah HaMizbeach, as we say, Chanukah for Chanukah of Hay, that the Makkabim came. And they found a little jar of oil. Is that the main nace of Chanukah? Is it the idea of finding the Pach HaShemen? As the Gemara seemingly, that's all the Gemara talks about on Shabbos, on Daf Chaf Aleph. However, if you look in Al-Anisim, which we say in benching, and which we say in as we focus in the Al-Anisim, in the Shmon Esrei also, no mention of the Pach HaShemen. All it talks about is the war with Yavan. So which one is it? Is it the struggle fight of Yavan? How the Yavan, how the Greece wanted to destroy us, which we'll discuss what they tried to do. Or is it, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the whole mitzvah of the Pach HaShemen? Which one is it? Question 4. We have a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Toma Hotra B'tzibur. That means that if the whole nation is Tomei, if the whole nation is impure, then they are allowed to do certain mitzvot. For example, says the Gemara in Pesachim in the 4th Perek, if the whole nation is Tomei, and we know that you're not allowed to offer the Karban Pesach when you're Tomei. However, says the Gemara, if the whole nation is Tomei, then we have a cloud called Toma Hutra Betzibor. Comes along the hail of the Bnei Yoshua. Comes along the great Bnei Yoshua, and he asks one of the most famous questions in reference to Chanukah. The Bnei Yoshua, again, lived in 1680 to 1756, Yaakov Yehuda Falk, one of the greats, the Rav Rov in Frankfurt, unbelievable, the Pnei Yoshua, his Sfarim are used in all yeshivas, doesn't matter which yeshiva you are, all yeshivas use him, the great Pnei Yoshua, in his introduction, amazing, he says in his introduction, he was in a fire, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. And he turned to Hashem, and he didn't think he was going to make it. And he said, listen, Hashem, if you get me out of this fire, then my whole life's work will be to take all of the questions of Tosfos that has on Rashi, and I'll try to defend Rashi. I will try to work so hard in Torah, that will be my goal. Right at that second he said that, the great Pnei Yoshua, a piece of wood moved over. He was able to get under and he was saved. And from then on, he created the great Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua asked an awesome question, a famous question. I don't get it. If every single person is Tamei in Klal Yisrael in the time of Chanukah, why do you even need the mitzvah of the Pach HaShemen? What is the reason why you need it? Tuma Hutra B'tzibor. They didn't need to find a little nice Tahor vessel. They should have just used anything they had. What was the whole mitzvah if Tuma Hutra B'tzibor? And lastly, what was this fight? What's the fight between a Yavan and a Yehudi? What was the whole fight about? What did it represent? At the end of Al-Nisim we say, Lahodos ulahalel lishimcha hagadol. We came to praise and to give hodos to Hashem lishimcha hagadol. What does that mean? What is lishimcha hagadol? What is this whole fight? What's it all about? Let's discuss it over again. There's so many inyanim. We won't make it so long. Whenever I say that, it's usually the longest shiurim. I see it in your faces right now. You're like, oh my God. But again, as I always want clarity, then when you're walking on the street and you see someone and you're like, hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? You say, oh, I have a great question in the Chanukah. You have to have it clear. So let's make sure we have it clear. Let's go through the questions quickly. Again, question number 1, the difference between the beginning of this week's parsha and last week. Last week he was, Yosef was in the top of the world. At the end he was sitting in jail. Everything is wrong. And in this week he's in, sitting in jail in the beginning. And then at the end of the parsha he becomes a viceroy. And question two, why Yosef HaTzadik, why were his dreams into his interpretations accepted from Paro and the other interpretations were not accepted? And why did Yosef wait? Why did he wait to tell his father? What was he trying to accomplish? And then we shifted a little. We try to bring a connection between Parshas Miketz and Chanukah with Yosef. And we asked the obvious, the famous question of the Pnei Yoshua. That what do you mean, Tumah Hutchmet Sibor? And if we say Tumah Hutchmet Sibor, then why do you need this miracle at all? And the other question of which is the major nace? Is the nace the Mochama, the fight against Yavon? Or is the mitzvah the Pakas Shemen? And lastly, we just wanted to know on a more national level, what does it mean? What's this fight between a Yavon and a Klal Yisrael? And how can we apply it to our lives? How can we apply it to our lives nowadays? L'chaydois. How can we apply it to our lives? So let's go slow. Again, there are a lot of answers, a lot of different inyanim, but let's go slow. Yosef HaTzadik. Why were his interpretations of the dreams listened to by Paro and the Partumei Mitzrayim was not listened to? What's the difference? Comes along the Halig of Pshadu, Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin was one of the greats. He lived not so long ago. He was born in 1888, lived to 1978. He was one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the Encyclopedia Talmudis. Unbelievable. If anyone sees a lot of volumes. You have one little line that gives you everything in Chazal about it. Before the Bar Ilan, it's unbelievable to look at this. Even have it on the Bar Ilan nowadays, but it's unbelievable. Rav Zevin says a beautiful idea. Rav Zevin says that there are three types of dreams. He says, quoting from the Gemara in Brachos, there's a dream that's a dream of Shtus and Hevel. That really, there's nothing behind this dream. The Gemara in Brachos talks about this on the whole parak just about dreams. About like you see elephants in your dream, doesn't really mean anything. Then there's another type of dream where it's just a fact. You can't really do anything with this dream, it's just stating the facts. But then there's another element of a dream, says Rav Zevin. There's an element of a dream that the facts are presented to you. However, there is an ability to do something with it. It's not just the facts, and it's not just nonsense, but I'm going to give you the facts, and you're going to have the ability to do your hishtadlus and try to change them. Obviously, with Hashem's help, and whatever Hashem wants is going to happen, but you have the ability to make things happen. You'll get your interpretation, and now it's up to you. Says Rav Zevin, When the people came from Mitzrayim and they came to Paro and they said, Paro, here, this is the dream. They were just telling him facts that he couldn't do anything about. They were telling him facts that he's going to have daughters and they're going to die. And Paro didn't want to accept it because he wanted to do something with it. Comes along Yosef and Yosef says, I'm going to tell you what these dreams represent, and I'm going to give you the ability to make it happen. Comes Yosef. And again, when Yosef comes to him, it's different. It's obviously different, as we spoke about last week. Such an important Yisoidus last week. We spoke about the Siyata Deshmaya, that Yosef HaTzadik was able to say everything stems from Hashem. As it says in the Parsha Mem Aleph, Parak Mem Aleph, Pasuk to Zion, they've taken Yosef out from jail. And Yosef responds, Vayan Yosef. Yosef says, as Paro to Paro, Lemor, Biladai Elokim Yaneth Shlom Paro. this is beyond me. Only Hashem will be able to respond. Yosef HaTzadik realizes, again, that switch, realizing that Hashem is in his life on a practical way, that Hashem loves him, and he's part of his life. Biladai Elokim, without Hashem, I can't do anything. And Yosef turns to Paro and he says, you know what it's all about, these dreams? That you're going to have a lot of wealth in Mitzrayim. And save up, make sure, because there's going to be a time that there's not going to be so much wealth, and there's going to be a famine throughout all the world. And you have the opportunity, you have the ability to save the world. And Paro heard this interpretation, and he loved it, because it told him the facts of something that might happen, but it also gave him the ability to act upon it. So Yosef HaTzadik came and saved the day. Says Rav Zevin, that's why Paro listened to a Yosef. He listened to a Yosef because Yosef didn't just interpret the dreams. Yosef made action. He made action of the dreams. That's a big yisod. A lot of times we see things happening to us in life, and Hashem obviously is always talking to us. But we need to make action. We need to make action, which we'll talk more about soon. Question 2. Why did he wait? What was the switch? The switch from last week to this week? So I heard a beautiful idea. Last week, Yosef was telling his own dreams. This week, Yosef is interpreting others' dreams. Getting out of himself. Not focusing on himself. Getting out of his own dreams and trying to help others. That's a big yisod. Yosef was saying, I'm going to be more. I'm going to be big. I'm going to help. I'm going to try to help others. That's what I'm all about. So what was Yosef trying to accomplish? Why didn't he send his father? Again, they didn't have WhatsApp. They didn't have anything back then. But why didn't he tell him a telegram? Why didn't he inform him? What was he trying to find out? Comes along the Heliger Ramban. The Ramban, again, as we know, lived in the year 1194 to 1270. The great Ramban from Spain, a philosopher, a physician, writing Chidushim on all of the Torah, on the Gemara, having everything, the great Ramban. And the Ramban says an amazing thing. The Ramban says that you know why Yosef could not tell his father? Because the Pasuk tells us that Yosef was waiting to be Mekayim the dreams. The dreams were told over to Yosef. And it says in Perek Membeis, Pasuk Tes, Vayizkor Yosef eschalamos asher chalam lahem. And Yosef remembered the dreams that he had last week's parsha, Parshas Vayesha. Vayomer alekem meraglim. And he said, you are spies. Says the Ramban, beautiful. You know why Yosef couldn't tell the brothers? You know why Yosef couldn't inform his father? He wasn't trying to go be bad. He wasn't trying to do not nice things to his father. He felt that it was on a level of nevuah, of prophecy, that he had to wait on all the brothers coming out to Mitzrayim. And he had to wait for Binyamin to come, and all the series of events were to get Binyamin to come down. He knew that Yaakov was going to say, no way, Binyamin can't come down. I'm reluctant, he can't come down. But still, Yosef said, I need the dreams to be fulfilled. I need a level of Nevuah to happen. Says the Ramban, that's why Yosef waited. Comes along the halo of Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel says differently. The Abarbanel, who lived in 1437 to 1508, the great Yehuda Abarbanel, who lived in Portugal, the great philosopher, wrote such amazing works on everything. The Abarbanel says, no, nothing to do with Nevuah. You know what it was about? You know what Yosef was trying to do? He was trying to get his brothers to a level of tshuva. Why Yosef was given that, was, we felt that that's a good question. However, he felt that he wanted to get his brothers to a level of tshuva. They messed up. We're still paying for that, as the Gemara of Shabbos tells us. They messed up. They sinned. They felt that it was correct what they felt about Yosef, and they viewed him, as we spoke about last week, that he was a rodef, that he deserves to die, and they messed up. And even the Gemara says that right, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin about Vavim and Beis, very critical of Yehuda. What gave you? You didn't take a leadership role. Again, last week we spoke about how Yehuda realized he messed up, and he said, okay, I messed up, but I'm not going to just be stuck where I am. And sometimes we fall, but we're not going to be stuck where I am. A big Yisod, but the Gemara is very critical of Yehuda, and says that Yehuda messed up. And Yosef said, I want my brothers to get a kapare. I want my brothers to get a tshuva. At the end of the parsha, it's unbelievable. We know that it's found in Perek Mem Gimel. Finally, we get Binyamin to come down. And the pasuk says, in Perek Mem Gimel, pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayisa Masos Meis Panav Elokim, Vatera Masos Binyamin. Right? Binyamin's coming down. And what do you give to Binyamin? Kulam Chamesh Yados. He gave Binyamin fivefold, five more than his brothers. Vayishtu vayishakru imo, and they went and they drank. Rashi brings down from the Medrash found in Sadi Beis. Hey, also quoting from the Gemara, that what does it mean that the brothers drank with him? Rashi says in Miyom Shemachru lo shosu yayin. When the day that they sold Yosef at Sadik, they didn't drink wine. The lohu shosu yayin, the osayom they drank. What's the pshat here? What's the pshat? So maybe perhaps the pshat is why the brothers drink now. Why the brothers drink now? And then Yosef did a review. He didn't reveal himself yet. Next week's parsha. Right? We leave off this parsha on a cliffhanger. We obviously know the story, but it's unbelievable. You just read the story every parsha by parsha. Wow, it's awesome. So why were they excited? Why are they drinking now? They didn't. So that's the pshat, maybe, like the Abarbanel. Perhaps. Is that they got to a level of tshuva. They weren't jealous of Binyamin. Even though Binyamin was given fivefold, still, they weren't jealous of Binyamin. And since they weren't jealous of Binyamin, they were happy because they were able to work on their midas. As the Rishon Salanter writes, that it's harder to change one midah because we're born with different traits. It's harder to change one midah than to learn all of Shas. Unbelievable. It's not easy to finish Shas. Telling you. Still waiting for that day, right? It's hard. 7.5 years, you can just do Daf Yomi. Unbelievable. To finish Shas, no Shas. And says it with Sol Salanter, to work on a Midah is impossible. The brothers, they worked on this Midah. Again, they messed up. But they worked on this Midah. And you know why Yosef wanted, says the Abarbanel? Yosef couldn't tell his brothers because he wanted them to get to a level of tshuva. He wanted them to work on their Midas, and now we need to work on our Midas, obviously. Baruch Hashem, we have so much good things about us, but there are certain things that we got to work on ourselves. The different Midas, the different way we look at things, we got to change it. So what's the connection between Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah? What's it all about? Which is the miracle? Is it the miracle of the Pach HaShemen? Is it the miracle of the war? What's it all about? Comes along the Hilga Maharal. And the Maharal says something awesome. The Maharal says that you know what the main miracle was? The main miracle really was the war. However, what's going to happen? A person's going to think, Kochi v'otsim yadot achayel hazeh. You know, it's natural for someone to win the war. Even an underdog wins sometimes. Says the Maharal. The Gemara needs to tell me that the main miracle is the Pach HaShemen, is the oil, finding the oil. Why? Says the Maharal. To show me that God's hand is in everything. God is in the supernatural miracles, and God's hand is in the natural miracles. So why? Why focus on the light? Why focus on the light when you have the miracle of the war. Because when Jews fight, we don't fight with our sword. We fight with our light. We're the light unto the nation. And that's why the Goyim want to destroy us. That's why the Goyim want us out of this world. Because we represent the idea of there's a purpose for us. We're godliness. We're put with Selam Elokim. We're put into this world to accomplish. We're put into this world for getting closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it's all about. It's all about that relationship with Hashem. And the way we fight is with the lights, is with the candles. We never give up. We never give up. We protect ourselves with the sword. And we don't give up in the battlefield also. But the way a Jew fights, the way a Jew accomplishes, is to be a light unto the nation. Is to grow. Is to not settle. And even when we're knocked down, we're never ever going to give up. We are the light unto the nation. We are the fire that you can't extinguish us. Just that fight between Yaakov and the Tsar Shel Esau, which we spoke about, the Yetzer Hara, how the Yetzer Hara wants to make us fall, and he wants to make us feel like nothing. So the Gevaldik Achronim say that the Tsar Shel Esau wanted to knock us, and he realized that he wasn't going to overpower us, so he knocked us in the thigh. That thigh represents Hod. Because he knew he wasn't going to knock us with the Torah. The Torah will never be forgotten. The Torah will always be there. There will always be someone learning. And no, the Torah won't be forgotten. But Esav wanted to knock us down with the idea of showing thanks to Hashem, the Hod. The Hod, the being thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Realizing that Hashem is in our lives. Realizing what Hashem has given to us. How he's given us so much. Comes along the Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua says, you know, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, really, Klal Yisrael, they could have just lit the candle and they could have been Tameh. Why do they need to find that Tahor light? Says the Pnei Yoshua. Because when we Jews go into things, we want to do it the best we can. We don't give up. We don't just go for b'di'eved. We go for the best. We go for what we can accomplish. We don't settle. We're the light unto the nation. We don't let anyone knock us down. And we work harder and harder. And that's what God gave us. God gave us the ability for greatness. God gave us the ability to accomplish. And sometimes we fall. And sometimes there's darkness. And sometimes there's people that put us down. But we never fall. We never give up. Says the Pnei Yoshua, that's why we don't want Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. Because if we had Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, so then we're just saying, okay, we'll do B'di'evet. We don't live a B'di'evet life. We live the life that we want to get closer and closer to Hashem. What was Yavon? What did Yavon represent? Yavon represented the teaching of Aristotle, the Greek methodology. Because they said man is great, right? But they viewed man as a god. They put the face of a man as their god. And it was all about man. That's why they wanted to get rid of Bris Milah and Torah and Rosh Chodesh. And they said, no, Lashkicham Torasecha. Only man is in charge, not a god. That's not what you're about. You're about just man. And that's the Greek methodology, the Aristotle. And we turn to that and we say, no, that's not who we are. We know we can accomplish. We're like a Yosef HaTzadik, this week's Parsha. We'll be pushed down, we'll be in jail, things will look bleak, and all of a sudden with Hashem's help, we'll just be the most powerful person out there with the help of Hashem, as Yosef didn't forget Hashem. And that's what we're about. But it's about reaching out to Hashem. Yavon says there's no spirituality. Yovan says, it's all about me. It's all about man. God, come on. God left this world, God forbid. And we turn and we say, we're not going to let you win. We're going to always remember that we're here because the Creator is with us every day. You're going to make us try to be Lashkichem Torah Secha. You're going to make us try to forget the Torah. No way. I'm not going to never forget the Torah, because the Torah represents Hashem. We're the people of Hashem. That's who we are. That's what we represent. The Gemara tells us that we have this mitzvah of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min and Mahadrin. Why so much? Why so many different levels? Machlokas, what exactly it is. Tosfos and the Rambam, a whole separate shir on that. But why? Because we are people of working beautiful, more and more, Mahadrin and Mahadrin. We want to do more. But it's not for ourselves. It's for Hashem. Because Hashem has given us so much. Hashem has given us the power to accomplish. But a person can't forget that. Says the Maharal. Then again, you know why the Gemara has to talk about the Parak Hashemen? Because you might think, Kochi gotzim yodi et achayel hazeh, that it was us, it was man. As Yavam thought, it was all about man. And we turn around and we say, no. Man can accomplish, man can do great things. But it's all with the help of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what we come away from Chanukah. We come away from a Chanukah. Lahodos l'shimcha ha-gadol. Says the Gemara in Brachos Daf Gimel. What does it mean, l'shimcha? We want to make Hashem's name great, l'shimcha. When we say Yehei Shmei Rabba, every single time that we have, we daven in Kedusha, we say Yehei Shmei Rabba, that the Esavs in the world, the Amaleks in the world, the Yavans in the world, they want to take Hashem out of this world, and they want to say it's all about man. There's no spirituality out there. But we turn to all those nations and we say, L'shimcha HaGadol. We represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. We represent the light unto the nations. We represent that we're going against Ma'atim Biyad, right? The Rabbim, the masses of the world, the 7 billion people in this world, and we're such a small fraction, but why are we in the headlines every week, every day? Because they want to destroy us. They don't like that we're connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't like that we're the people of the book, because they're threatened by us, because they know we're the truth, and we have to believe it. L'shimcha HaGadol. We need to make Hashem's name great. And how we do that? We find greatness in ourselves, and we push ourselves. But after we push, we say, it's all you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all you. Look what you've given me. It's all you. We need to be more thankful. We need to thank Hashem for everything. I heard a great story. We'll end with this. There was a lady that went to Rosh Hashanah Arush, right? That he's been speaking everywhere about Emunah and the idea of believing in Hashem. And it's all about being grateful and thankful to Hashem. And a lady came to him and said, I haven't had children for 10 years. And we can't even imagine what this lady is going through. And he turns to her and he says, I could tell you something. Again, I'm not Hashem, but I don't think you're ready to hear it. She said, no, please tell me, tell me. Tell me, I just need a Yeshua, I need a baby. All I want, my whole purpose is to have children and to have children to give to them and to keep the Jewish nation going. So he said, okay, I want to tell you. And he said, no. Right, that's how you could always get someone, like you like give them a little and then you take it back and then you give it up. She's like, no, please just tell me. So Rosh Hashanah Arush said, if you do this, again, I'm not Hashem, but I think it could give you a Yeshua. Every single day for an hour, I want you to just talk to Hashem and just talk about everything good that He's given you. And I know you're going through a big struggle and you don't have a child. No one can't even imagine. But I want you to just focus on what Hashem has given you. All the good things. I know you don't have a child, but just focus on all the good. Focus on Hashem has given you this and this and this and this. Whatever you just talked in for an hour. Shomaru said, a year later, the lady called up Shomarush and said, I want you to be Sandik in my son's bris. Wow. After 10 years not having a child. So Shomarush said, just bring the Emunah, bring the Hakara Satov. Everything that happens is because Hashem has given us. Yosef Sadik represents helping others and realizing that Hashem is part of his life. Look at the good. I'm in a terrible situation. I can't even imagine. But still, look at the good. Hashem is in my life. And that's what Chanukah represents also. L'shimcha ha'godol. Make Hashem's name great. Realizing, wow, look what we have. Yeah, we have struggles. But through the struggles, through the darkness, through that little candle, you can make greatness. One little flame could just... just take the whole room and illuminate it. And we all could do it. We all could strive more. We all could accomplish more. Little things, just turning off your phone that you're about to dive in, not on vibrate, just turn it off. You and Hashem, give him 15 minutes. Talk to him. Thank him. He's given us so much. Don't focus on what he hasn't given us, but focus on what he has given us and just keep on focusing on that. And if you do that, you'll live a happy life. And we all want to live happier lives. Let us just keep on growing. Let's learn from a Yosef. Let us realize the Mahadran Min Mahadran. Let us realize that we don't do Tumah Hutra Bet Sibor because we want perfection. But perfection means that we work hard. And then we look back and we say, Hashem, look what you've given us. Bezat Hashem, let's keep on growing. Growing in our Torah, growing in our mitzvot, growing in our chesed, and Bezat Hashem will just get closer and closer to you.